This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Stephen Covey believes that every man, every woman, every young person centers their life on something or someone. Everyone is centered in something or someone, and he gives, I think, around 8 or 9 that I want to share with you. These are worth writing down just to set up the message today about being a belief-centered person. Number one, he believes that there are some people who are spouse-centered. Well, what does that mean? A spouse-centered person bases their feelings of security on the way your spouse treats you. A family-centered person is second. Your security is founded on family acceptance and fulfilling family expectations. Your feelings of self-worth are based on the family reputation. Number three, you can be money-centered. Your personal worth is determined by your net worth. You're vulnerable to anything that threatens your economic security. The next one, you can be work-centered. You tend to define yourself by your occupational role. You're only comfortable when you're working. What a statement. Some men and women are only comfortable when they're working. The next one is pleasure-centered. You feel only secure when you're on a pleasure high. You make your decisions based on what will give you the most pleasure. You see the world in terms of what's in it for you. The next one is friend-centered or enemy-centered. I found this really intriguing. Some people are friend-centered, but some people are enemy-centered. What do they both mean? Well, friend-centered, your security is a function of the social mirror. You're highly dependent on the opinions of others. You're easily embarrassed. Your decision-making basis is what will other people think. Enemy-centered people are people who have an enemy, and their whole life is positioning themselves in such a way to make their enemy look bad and to make them look good. Everything they do, even in a church, well, how can I make him look bad? How can I make her look bad and make me look good? That's called friend-centered or enemy-centered. Well, Covey believes that we should be principle-centered. I think that's a politically correct way of saying what I'm going to say. I believe that a Christian is someone who is belief-centered. A Christian is someone who's belief-centered. Next week, I'm going to be quoting some quotes of Norman Cousins, who says, belief is biology, which is a powerful statement. We are the result of what we believe biologically and how what you believe about your health impacts your health. What you believe about illness impacts the way you feel today. We'll talk about that next week as this message series continues. But today, as we continue this series on the word believing, I want you to think of yourself as a belief-centered person who, get this, everything about your marriage, everything about your home, everything about your career, everything about your education centers around this one belief: Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And everything is an outflow of that. And you say, that's pretty narrow. It really is. One of the most narrow things I can ever come up with. But I believe it's true. We are to be belief-centered people. How do I know that? From what we read today in the epistle of 1 John. It's toward the end of your Bible, right before Revelation. There's 3 letters by the Apostle John. It's 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. John says this, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And this is His command," this is God's command for your life, "to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us." Isn't that an amazing statement of the Apostle John? To believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to love other people in His name. That's what life is all about. We'll continue tomorrow, same time, same place. Well, last week on this program, we began an 8-week series based on one word, the word belief, or the word belief. That may be the most important word in your life, because you and I are the result of what we believe. I believe that's true in general, but I also believe specifically it's true spiritually, that what I believe, what you believe about Jesus Christ, believe it or not, impacts our marriages, impacts our families, impacts our work relationships. It impacts everything about you, what you believe or don't believe about the Lord. I'm going to reread that scripture in a moment from 1 John 3, the passage today, where we talk about being a belief-centered person. I hope it speaks to you all this week. Part 2 of the second message in an 8-week series on belief. John says this, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him." Listen to verse 23. This is the pivotal verse. "And this is His command." This is God's command for your life. "To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them." This is how we know. This is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. If I were to ask you your opinion, if you could describe the secret of marriage in one or two sentences, we'd have an interesting mixture of comments, the secret of marriage. But I'm going to suggest to you that everything flows in marriage out of two things. That the person you're married to loves you, and you love them. And number two, that the person you're married to trusts you, and you trust them. And I'm going to suggest this morning the secret of marriage flows out of those two things, that this is the person I love, but this is also the person I trust. This is the person who loves me, but it's also the person who trusts me. And you say, "Randy, that's pretty simplistic. I mean, there's a lot more to marriage than that, and there's give and take, and there's personality quirks, and there's this and that," and I agree. But here's my point. What difference does any of that make if the person you live with doesn't love you and doesn't trust you? And what difference does any of that make, all the things you describe, if you don't love that person and you don't trust that person? It all flows out of love and trust. And my position today is this: everything flows out of verse 23. If we could bring up verse 23 again, John says what? "And this is God's command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us." And I can hear people thinking, "That's it?" In a sense, Christianity can be leveled down or narrowed down to these two points. Yes, for the same argument reason I gave earlier. It doesn't matter if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and it doesn't matter if you don't love other people. All the other stuff, all the other religious aspects of Christianity don't matter if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be. Well, you may not agree with my analogy of marriage, that all of marriage can be summarized by two things: loving another person and trusting another person, and that everything in your marriage flows out of love and trust. But I do believe it's true. I also believe the two things that we have to have in our lives spiritually as a believer in Jesus Christ is to believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be, and also to love one another as He commanded us. Everything else flows out of those two things. Well, all this week we're in the second message of an 8-week series on the word believe. Today we talk about a word that's in our text called command. This is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Those are the words of the Apostle John. I found out the word command can mean injunction. Well, that has a whole legal connotation with people that the word command doesn't. An injunction means a judicial process or order requiring the person to whom it is directed to do a particular act or to refrain from doing a particular act. It's a order from a judge, and that's the word that the Apostle John uses. This is the injunction: to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Let's continue with this second message in an 8-week series on the word belief. All the other stuff, all the other religious aspects of Christianity don't matter if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be. I'm always interested in words, and I wanted to know what the word command means in that verse 23. I think we have something to bring up for that. The word command means injunction as a court order. I don't know if any of you have ever been involved in any legal skirmishes or whatever, and a judge issues an injunction. An injunction is a court order that's signed by a judge, and the order is this: it's to be carried out. It's an injunction by the judge. That's part of the meaning of the word command. And it's as if John said, here's the injunction signed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the judge of all judges, simply this: to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and then to love one another. And I want to suggest to you that everything in your Christian life flows out of your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and everything flows out of your love for other people. It really is that basic. It really is that simple. Ben Patterson is an author who believes that there's a point in life as we get older. He describes it in this way: when your capillaries harden and your joints have failed, life reduces you to your raw essence, which is a fancy way of saying this: whatever you were in the beginning really becomes defined at near the end of your life. Now, here's a very personal question just for you, not for your spouse, not for the person sitting next to you. When life reduces you to your essence, whether that's next Tuesday or 5 years from now or 10 years from now or 20, 30 years from now, what will life reduce you to? What will be the raw essence of who you are and what you are? I want to suggest from this text in 1 John 3 that hopefully something exhibits, something demonstrates, something manifests that you're a man or woman who believes that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, and you happen to love other people. Why? Because this is the command. This is the command of God, that we believe in his Son, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded. God's injunction is for us to do two things: to believe in the name of his Son and to love others. When we do both, God's Spirit lives in us. That's interesting. God says, when you do these things, not only do you live in me, I live in you, which I find incredible. What does that mean, that I live in God and God lives in me? It means we're one. I think that's what it means. Does that mean I'm perfect? No, I didn't say that. Does it mean you're perfect? No. But when we love God, we love other people, we believe in his Son according to John, according to the Word of God, God not only lives in us, we live in him. And there's a oneness that develops. And how do we know it? Because of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives in us. As we go through this sermon series, you're going to discover in different ways from the Old Testament and the New Testament something that Norman Cousins said, and I'm going to talk about this next week, that belief is biology. What a statement. Belief is biology, that we are affected physically, mentally, and emotionally just by what we believe. What a statement. And he gives several illustrations that you will find fascinating in his book, that belief is biology. If that's true physically, belief is biology. Belief is so important spiritually. To believe in the name of God's Son and to love one another as he commanded. I don't know when the last time was that you bought a new car or bought a used car. Do you remember ever having a conversation with a salesperson, it could be a man or woman, trying to sell you a car, when they said something to this effect: what do I have to do to put you into this car? What kind of deal do we have to make? What kind of extras do I need to put into this car? What is it going to take to put you in this car? And you may have smiled and you may have said, well, I want this, this, and this, and I want the price down another $1,000. That's what it's going to take. And maybe you hammered out a deal with somebody over a car. I want to ask you this question: what's it going to take for you to follow the injunction, the order, the command of the Lord God Almighty, to believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and to love people like you were meant to love them, not as things, but as creations of God, and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself? That's what we're under orders to do. I'm asking you a different kind of question. What would we have to do this morning to get you to follow the most important command, injunction of your life, to believe in the name of God's Son and to love other people. And then I realized there's nothing that I can do. There is nothing that I can do to get you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You say, how do you know that? The book of Corinthians says this, no man or woman calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? It's an inside job. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to your spirit and says, Jesus is who he claimed to be. It's not simply an intellectual exercise. It's not a theoretical exercise. It's an exercise of the Holy Spirit of God in your life and in your heart where he speaks to your spirit. He testifies, is a word the Bible uses. The Holy Spirit testifies to my spirit that I'm a child of God. The Holy Spirit testifies to my spirit that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. I read an interesting story this week. I want to share it, but before I do, I want to bring up a scripture that I'm going to be sharing every week during this 8-week series. I shared it last week, and every Sunday, this is going to be the last scripture that's going to come up. It's from John 8:24, if we can bring that up. John 8:24 says, if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. You may remember that from last Sunday. I will share that every Sunday. It's going to be the crucial, critical thought at the end of every message during the next 8 weeks, where Jesus is so bold, politically incorrect in your face and saying, if you don't believe that I'm the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Well, I'm going to ask you to tune in tomorrow on Friday to hear this final story that illustrates John 8:24, that if I refuse to believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, according to Jesus, not according to me, but according to him, I will die in my sins. Folks, I don't know of anything more frightening than those words, that I will die in my sins simply by refusing to believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. A number of years ago, there appeared in the New Yorker magazine a story of a Long Island resident. Long Island, of course, is off New York City, that Long Island that goes out into the ocean. He ordered an extremely sensitive barometer from a respected company that you know as Abercrombie and Fitch. Now, they're known for their clothes and some of their explicit ads for young people. I'm not going to get into that. But at the time, Abercrombie and Fitch sold all kinds of things, including this very expensive barometer that you could have at your home, and it would tell you when there's going to be rain, when there was going to be a beautiful day, sunny day, that kind of thing. When the instrument arrived at his home, he was disappointed to discover that the indicating needle appeared to be stuck, pointing to the sector marked hurricane. After shaking the barometer vigorously several times, which is never a good idea with a sensitive mechanism, and never getting the point to move, the new owner wrote a scathing letter to Abercrombie and Fitch on the following morning, just saying how terribly disappointed he was in their product. That needle was stuck on hurricane. And I can tell this thing doesn't work. I want my money back. He mails it on his way to his office in New York City, rides the train into New York. That evening, he returned to Long Island to find not only the barometer was missing, but his house was too. You see, the needle of the instrument had been pointing correctly. The month was September, the year was 1938, and that was the day of a terrible hurricane that almost leveled the entire Long Island in New York. What's my point? I just read a verse of scripture that Jesus said, if you do not believe I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins, and people shake that. I don't like that. I want it to point to something else. I want it to say something else. Make me feel good. Make me feel positive. Give me a good word, and we all want that. I do too. But my point is this, that's not what Jesus said in John 8:24. He simply had the audacity to point the needle and say, if you don't believe that I am who I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. I mentioned this last week. To die in your sins is the worst possible epitaph for your life. He didn't say to die of cancer is the worst thing that can happen to you, because it's not. He didn't say to die of heart disease is the worst thing that can happen to you. He didn't say to die tragically in some war situation. He didn't say that. He said, you will die in your sins if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be. 8-week series, we're 2 weeks into it. Belief. You are what you believe. Belief is biology. And everything we believe about Jesus Christ affects everything we believe about our marriage, about our families, about everything else, because the essence of belief is what John said. This is the injunction, the command, to believe in Jesus Christ in the name of his Son, the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. You do that, God's Spirit lives in you. And we live in God. And the proof? The Holy Spirit that lives in us. Let's pray together. Well, just for the sake of discussion, what would happen if you really put into practice 1 John 3:23 that says this is God's command or injunction to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us? I believe it would make a difference in your marriage today if you believe that verse. I believe it would make a difference in your family today if you believe that verse. I believe it would make a difference in every area of your life if you and I followed 1 John 3:23 to believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and then to turn around and love one another as he commanded us. We'll continue this series next week on the word believe on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.